The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to talk with Dave Epstein about a revolutionary and extra-tough walking cane designed for the blind and low-vision community called the All-Terrain Cane. Nowadays, most people know him as Sedona Dave, and we are going to be catching up with him to see what all he's been up to. Before we get started, though, tell us a little bit about you. Who is Dave?
Who is Sedona Dave? Just about to turn 61 years old. With retinitis pigmentosa, RP. I think by now we all know what RP is. Today I'm sitting in the final phases of RP. My right eye is no longer functioning, and left eye is down to about 3 degrees central. So that's where I am visually, still staying in the game, still hiking, still very, very active. My life today is really all about being active out in the land, connecting with my community. A couple of weeks in June, I get to be the blind hiking coach for Blind Camp out here in Arizona. What a thrill.
Awesome.
The best 2 weeks of my year. It's amazing. The little kids are such great, great representations of our community. I was not always blind, and I was not always a casual, you know, adventurous hiker. During my active, productive years, I was a surveyor in Boston and the East Coast. A forester and wildland firefighter. That's where I got my love for the wilderness and the trail systems. Goodness, I was a scuba instructor. A lot of interesting careers that gave me a lot of great stories to tell. Did they have anything to do with being blind or hiking or developing products? No, but yes. You know, throughout life, we pick up skills and skill sets that who knows what odd skill. How can this serve me in the future? And they do. So I'd say that's who I am in the present state.
That's awesome.
It's what I do. Yeah, we all have skill sets and experiences, and they really help me to move forward with, you know, when I start to get down on myself, oh, this didn't come out right perfectly, you know, let's all give ourselves breaks, mulligans, move on.
And your love of the outdoors is what kind of got you involved with designing the All-Terrain Cane. So if you would, what is the story behind the cane that started it all, the All-Terrain Cane?
And it is a very specific story. You're right, Chris. Okay, so my wife and I moved to Arizona back in 2016. And I knew I was heading south with my eyes, not ready for any official training yet. But in 2018, I don't know, maybe it was the Arizona sun or who knows, but I realized, you know, Dave, get it done. Get in touch with the state, get some O&M training going while you still have some vision left. Big advocate for that. So about midway through my training, it was a 12-month program. Midway through, one late afternoon, my wife and I were on the trails down in the village of Oak Creek, really between Bell Rock and Courthouse Butte, a couple of very well-known monuments out here. The sun had dipped below the mountain range, and I remember following my wife and our dog, and I realized very quickly I was in trouble, that I lost what I needed to be walking on the trails. I lost shadows. I lost direct sunlight. I lost contrast, depth perception, and quickly realized I was in trouble, that I was hurting myself. I was tripping. I was missing things. And I wasn't very happy. And my wife picked that up with apparently the beautiful poetry I was spewing. And she turned around and asked, you know, what's the problem? And I said, I can't do this. I need something. I don't belong here. I'm in trouble. I'm hurting myself. I need something, but I don't know what it is. Well, what it was a supportive mobility. It was a cane that I was familiar with, obstacle detection, terrain changes, navigation, just what I need on the trails, only more supportive because I'm falling. I need balance. I need stability. And it just wasn't available. So a number of things happened the week following that event. I went to the local hiking store and asked where their local blind hiking section was. And he showed me things like first aid kits and whistles and flashlights and sort. Not what I was looking for, but I did walk out of the store with a set of trekking poles and right away took it to my workbench and started breaking it down and building up what I would need to keep myself safe on the trails. Mm-hmm. I also brought my Ambutech street cane. It was fiberglass out to the trails. Like, okay, this is what I need. I'm blind. I need a stick on the trails. And it was just an epic failure, bending and bowing and popping apart. And like, this is just not what I need. So I had a very clear idea of what worked and what didn't. And yet there was nothing on the market until I made it happen. After a couple prototypes and iterations, I finally came up with what I consider to be a really good working model for me. And that's what it was. It was for me. And, you know, being an RP with a little bit of vision left, I could still see the shaft. It still had the numbers of, you know, you're set to 140 centimeters and it was an internal locking mechanism. And again, for me, it worked because I could work around the obstacles that the blind would experience with this. Internal locks are a nuisance because if you pull sections of tubing apart, you get them back together. Good luck. They're going to bend, they're going to break, and
yeah.
Your experience is now miserable. So I was fine with what I built until one day on a Rhode Island beach where I was in yet another pleasant mood because I was the only blind guy on the beach and nobody was there to identify with what I was feeling. So I grabbed my prototype cane and marched along the shoreline. Come on, O&Ms, come on. Point out that I'm shorelining because I was doing just that, walking along the shore away from the public. And at that far end of the beach, I was more or less jumping up and down with this prototype in my hand saying, I'm so damn tired of being the only blind guy on the beach. Why can't somebody join me? Why can't somebody understand? All we need are the right tools. And that was it. That was that aha moment that all we need are the right tools. All we need are the right tools. And suddenly it wasn't about me anymore. It was about you. My community, the people I want to be hiking with. And that really laid down the next gauntlet for me to take what I have that works for me and make it accessible to everybody out there. It has to look like a cane. It's got to unfold like a cane. It can't be internal locking mechanisms that pop out. That doesn't work. It's not blind friendly. We need external locks that have to be blind friendly. It's open, closed, good, bad, locked, unlocked. So that was my next challenge, to convert a prototype into a successful working model for all of us. And again, after a couple of three iterations of that, we came up with a really successful all-terrain cane. And that's where we are today with the ATC. It's a super strong, lightweight, supportive mobility cane, specifically designed for hiking the wilderness trails of Arizona. And honestly, Chris, for everywhere else I and we want to be, the beaches, the parks and playgrounds, snowy environments, anywhere that's unstable or not a smooth, polished marble shopping mall floor.
And it's funny because in a limited way, I've experienced what you've talked about, which is, you know, being in unfamiliar areas, and I too have extreme low vision, but mine is from something called Knobloch, which resembles retinitis pigmentosa, but it also has a whole host of other fun side effects with it. But, you know, in doing the hiking, I went to using trekking poles as well because it really helped me determine, okay, is this next step a foot down or is it 4 feet down? Because one way is going to be fun, one way not so much. And I started, you know, using the poles more for determining what's in front of me than actually what they were designed for. I still use them for that, you know, and keeping balance and stuff. So I totally get it. And you've mentioned that the, you know, all terrain cane is different than a normal cane. Let's get into that a little bit. What nice. Makes it different than your typical white cane?
Oh, I love this question. Everything's different about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the very top, you feel that the ATC is different. We're sporting a 16-inch foam grip, and this is EVA injectable foam. This is the stuff that water ski handles and trekking pole grips are made of. So it's a hardcore, aggressive, yet soft, grippable foam. And that gives me plenty of room for choking up on the trails, having a good positive grip. I'm able to switch from a cane grip to a ski pole grip for added support. As you mentioned, taking that step down, is it 1 foot? Is it 2, 4 feet? Keep our rotator cuffs safe and protected.
Yes.
Love those things. Switch to a ski pole grip for added strength. Let's use our pecs, biceps, triceps, quads, mm-hmm. the major muscle groups to do the heavy lifting on the trails. The grip itself is mounted separately from the cane with an external flip lock. I mentioned the difference between internal and external locks. This is an external lock, open lock by pulling the flip lever away from the shaft. Now the grip can adjust in height. So the cane itself can adjust from 51 all the way up to 62 inches in length. The cane itself is a three-section folding cane. And I went with three sections versus five because I have a 16-inch grip, all right? I know it's not going to fold small. So let's minimize the break points, the joints.
Mm-hmm.
Three sections, keep it as strong as possible. The three sections of cane are actually titanium alloy. Really amazing metal, super strong. The lightweight features of titanium come from its super strength, where we're able to reduce the wall thickness of the tubing. So we're using less material, maintaining the strength. So titanium alloy, and the joints are a hardened stainless steel. And I refer to these as sleeve joints. The joints we see in our common street canes, I call it joints where we have one male section of the joint fitting into a cup or female section of a joint. Works great when you want to deploy the cane very quickly. Boom, they fall right into place. Problem being, you've got a joint section being compressed into another joint section. Metal will deform a little bit, and now the joint gets stuck. My joints are designed to be vertically loaded. That is, put all your weight on the cane straight down, or in the caning position, any kind of trip and fall scenario, these joints are safe, they're protected. The cane is not going to pop apart or bend or break or shear. So the design of the joints really integral to the superior strength and reliability that you're able to depend on, giving it all you've got, and it'll keep you upright. And I mentioned the two different load-ins, vertical and lateral, or the caning load, because when hiking or anywhere else that's unstable, to be able to use this as a trekking pole, as you've discovered, vertically with a ski pole grip, now it's a trekking pole, for fording rivers or for balance, support, strength, for descending mm-hmm. steep steps. It's that ability to put all the weight straight down, super, super important. And again, the joints will not stick in place. Spanning the joints, I got away from using bungee, and right now I'm using stainless steel, stainless cabling. And that's to keep the bungees from fraying and wearing out and being exposed to the elements. On the bottom of the cane, I'm running with a 2-inch rolling ball that is mounted with a slip joint, that half-inch slip-on configuration. And since I'm crashing into rocks and water bars and roots and who knows what else, I just felt that slip-on configuration gives it more of a perch, more of a solid feel on the bottom of the cane. Again, reduce breakage and things that could go wrong. All in all, from top to bottom, the all-terrain cane is really built with exceeding expectations in mind, that when I'm out on the trails and I'm falling, I'm leaning hard to the side, or something is about to go wrong, I don't have to think about it. It's there for me. And that level of comfort, knowing that it's got me, makes all the difference in the world.
I love it. Mother is definitely, necessity is definitely the mother of invention.
Yeah, I like the way you were going the first way.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
We are talking with the one and only Sedona Dave about the all-terrain cane and its baby sister, the Urban Explorer cane. It was either a year ago or a couple of years ago, you kind of turned this around and developed a version of the cane that is for us urban dwellers, shall I say, urbanites?
City folk.
City folk, that'll work. Called the Urban Explorer. What's that?
The Urban Explorer. She's amazing. I like to refer to her as the kid's sister to the All-Terrain King.
Okay.
Whereas the ATC is built for outdoor adventure, the ATC really isn't that conducive to a good urban experience. Again, it folds to about 21 inches. It's not small. You know, it doesn't tuck into a pocket or a pocketbook or a backpack very conveniently. And it is a little bit on the heavier side. Great for the trails, but if I'm swinging it constantly in the urban jungle, it's going to be taxing, and it will be a little bit heavy after a full day of use. Mm-hmm. So for the rest of us, I developed the Urban Explorer, and she is a 5-section, fully supportive folding mobility cane that is equally as strong as the all-terrain cane as far as the vertical and lateral loadings. The city provides its own challenges.
Yes.
Car doors, cobblestones, catch basins, fire hydrants, guy wires, obviously trip and fall scenarios everywhere.
Yeah.
And I hate to mention the belligerent component of society that doesn't want us around, that goes after us, that goes after our canes, deliberately trying to break our canes on us. I hate to mention this, but they're out there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And we need to be aware. So the Urban Explorer is a super strong cane that's going to be able to take the abuses and the rigors of the urban experience. Again, 5 sections, and she's made out of hardened aerospace-grade aluminum. Now, aluminum is actually a lighter material than titanium, so the Urban Explorer is coming in at about a third less weight. We're still sporting the stainless steel sleeve joints, again, for that vertical and lateral loading in all the trip and fall scenarios in the city. A 9.5-inch foam grip, which allows each of the 4 sizes of UX Urban Explorer to be adjusted in length up to 6 inches. So we've got small, medium, large, and extra large. Small being as small as 38 inches and all the way up to 62 inches for the extra large.
Okay.
So we're spanning quite a range of sizes and only 4 different sized units. The Urban Explorer has a bungee system that runs up the middle, so that's similar to what we're accustomed to. And on the bottom, we've got the hook style sporting a dome tip. And a dome tip is really a modified marshmallow rounded at the top to reduce jab in the city, cracks in concretes, rough asphalt, various terrains that we're on in the city. So UX folds fairly small, folds to about 12.5 inches. And that's great for pockets, pocketbooks, cargo pants, backpacks, et cetera. If you imagine the all-terrain cane as the Hummer H2, I mean, it's beefy and it's going to get it done out there. Consider the Urban Explorer to be the Jeep Renegade, where it's nimble to park in the small parking spots of the city, and yet you take it out into the backcountry and it does just fine. On that note, when my wife and I are walking in the afternoon with Otto, our dog, and he decides to walk back on the trails, I've got my Urban Explorer and I'm covered. I don't have to worry about, oh, I don't have a hiking cane with me. No, it does just fine. The only difference is that in the backcountry, the UX tends to wield itself. It's that light, and it's so nimble. I feel like I'm cheating.
Okay.
It's that nimble, and yet nothing wrong with making my life a little bit easier. So super reliable, super strong, exactly what I need here in Sedona where everything's rough, and it just meets all my needs.
I love it. You've mentioned the domed tip for the Urban Explorer cane. In addition to that, what other accessories are available for both the all-terrain cane and the Urban Explorer cane?
I'm pretty locked into the color scheme, but accessories, let's blend the cane up with colored tips, not just white. There's nothing that says we can't add color and interest to, you know, splashes of tips at the ball and dome. So we've got a number of different colors. We've got Hello Yellow, Sherbet Pink, Sedona Orange. We've got a Desert Blue and a Red. We are looking at cane sleeves. I haven't settled on one yet, but I need products that really exceed expectations. And when I find one, I'll carry it. Until then, not just yet. I'm also big into maintenance. I mean, the cane is our go-to tool. It's our third eye. To me, it's the most important blind tool I have.
Yeah.
Let's maintain it. So Aware of Gear has opted to carry its own branded silicone cleaning cloths. And those are just great for cleaning that upper shaft, get the dirt, grease, dust out of the shaft so that the grip can slide smoothly and effectively, hit the joints, keep them clean. Mm-hmm. That's really what we have for accessories. We also have a full line of awesome t-shirts featuring the Werewolf Gear logo and sporting, "Hey, I'm blind, don't crash into me," you know, using high density inks and high contrast colors. I haven't gone too wild yet with everything. Big into flashlights. I was a lot bigger into flashlights a while ago before I really adopted, "Hey, I'm going blind, learn to be blind." But still, flashlights, super important.
Very much so.
Yeah, so we're carrying a line of flashlights that I'm super proud of. Obviously, I crash test everything to death, and I settled on a brand called Nightcore, which is an amazing rugged flashlight. Great company, and they do a great job sporting super, super bright lights that are very small. So my everyday carry flashlight is smaller than my thumb and cranks out 1,200 lumens. It's just super performing. And again, products that exceed my expectations. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it onto our shelves.
You mentioned flashlights. Do you see a future where maybe lights could be incorporated into the canes?
No.
Okay.
Hard knowing that. And I laugh because this topic's come up very, very recently at CSUN, the big California event we were at a couple weeks ago. Again, I've got RP, meaning I was once a successful surveyor. I was fully sighted, driving, et cetera. Having experienced the loss in vision, and now I have to accept learning how to be blind, learning the stick, learning to navigate in the dark without my eyes, and really meticulously learning what the cane can give me in all scenarios. And then my goal was to trust my learning, let the cane do her job while my brain focuses on anything else. That was my goal, my mission. Now, my stance is that if I put a flashlight on the cane, say it's pointing down towards the tip, now I'm forcing my eyes to work in an environment that they don't work in, to try to navigate, try to be useful as I'm trying to learn not to have them be useful. So I'm forcing my attention to be on the ground again, right in front of me, when it shouldn't be. And that's why I personally am an advocate for not using a flashlight on the cane while ambulating. If a light is, say, pointing outwards to alert the oncoming, you know, sighted people, I think that's different.
Yeah.
And I've seen a cane out on the shows. The whole cane lights up. The whole cane glows like a fluorescent tube.
Okay.
With red on the bottom. And I think that's brilliant for letting everybody know there's a blind guy over there. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah, especially at night.
It's amazing. And when I first saw it in a dark hall at a trade show a couple of years ago, I was just like a moth to a flame. I couldn't keep my eyes off of it for what it did to alert the sighted community that there's a blind person. It was taking highly reflective material to the next level.
Yes.
That I can get behind emotionally, but for me to force myself to look down when I shouldn't be, not so much.
And everything you said makes perfect sense. You don't want to put a light on the cane that's going to force you to try and pay attention to something other than your surroundings, but you know, having a lighted cane also makes good sense because it lets the sighted community around you know that, hey, there is a person here with a visual disability, and you need to be aware of that. Once someone has made the decision to purchase an all-terrain cane or an Urban Explorer cane, could you walk us through the ordering process and give an idea of what they can expect?
Oh, sure. That's super, super easy. Just hit up our website, and that is awarewolfgear.com, which is AwareWolfGear.com. And it takes you right to the cane pages. We've got a lot of different categories on our website. The canes themselves are very easy to find. Size selection for the Urban Explorers. Yeah, the website has been designed for blind friendliness. And we do have the assistive part to it.
Okay.
Ask my partner what the name is, but you can bring up assistance and it'll help with a blind issues of seeing the screen. But yeah, the website is all about, it's all set up for ordering the accessories, the canes themselves, and our fulfillment center is turning orders around in about, we're looking at about 3-day delivery right now.
So oh, wow.
All the canes, it's great that all our canes are on the shelves. Finally, we could not keep extra larges on our shelves. Mm-hmm. We're finally there. So we're stocked and ready to go.
Is there anything else you'd like to cover that I may have missed?
Oh man, Chris, you asked some great questions. You really covered the spectrum of who Sedona Dave is, of what the canes are all about, what our worlds are like. I can't think of a thing. I see us as being in one of three pools. All right, so I developed the ATC. There are people like, whoa, it's about time. I'm dying to get off the couch. I'm dying to get back into the game. The second pool of people is like, so interesting that let me think about that. I like where you're going with it. I could see how that could be helpful. I'm not quite ready yet, but I feel it. I see where you're going. The third group, I think, is what we're discussing right now is, you know what, it's not for me. I don't get it. I'm not going to go out anyways. And if I do, I'm just going to go shopping. So I'm all set. Is it fear? Is it stubbornness? Is it age? I'm not really sure.
I think
it asks the question, what holds us back?
I think what you just said, it hits so many points.
We have a community we get to look after and support, and they got to take it so seriously. It's great to be a blind guy working on products for us. Mm-hmm. It's not like a sighted person saying, I've got just the right thing for you. That's arrogant.
Yeah.
At least this way I get to crash test and see, you know, what do I need and how do I make it more accessible to us? You know, I'm not an expert cane builder or cane user, but I'm a blind guy who's using it, and I know what I need.
Exactly. And on that note, I'm going to thank you very much for your time. It was appreciated, and I enjoyed this.
Chris, was a blast. I always have a great time talking to you. I appreciate your time as well.
Well, thank you very much. Due to time constraints, I was unable to air the part of my discussion with Dave about his community outreach efforts. I encourage you to visit the All Terrain Cane website at awerewolfgear.com. Click on the community link located at the bottom of the page. There you can learn more about Dave's podcast called Off the Beaten Path, where he talks with people who are blind about their accomplishments and, more importantly, how they achieved them. You can also learn about his efforts to get canes into the hands of blinded veterans by teaming up with the Blinded Veterans Association. And finally, learn about his partnership with the Laney D. Chesapeake Lighthouse, providing canes for people who are blind or visually impaired. Furthermore, be sure to sign up for Sedona Dave's weekly blog. That website address, once again, is awerewolfgear.com. And Awerewolf Gear is spelled AwerewolfGear.com. Finally, look for Awerewolf Gear on social media. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'd like to thank Dave once again for his time and talking with me today. It was greatly appreciated. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.